You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We get to share a wonderful missionary story again today. I love talking with missionary families, learning about how the Lord is using them to serve in His work around the world. And today we're heading to Puerto Rico to talk with the Roush family about how the Lord is using them to serve there. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on the KFUO website, kfuo.org. Joining us via Skype today, the Roush family, Pastor, the Reverend Matt Roush, serving as missionary, and his family joining us today as well. Welcome, Roush family.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for spending some time with me. Let's introduce the Roush family before we get into all the stories of what led up to you coming there. So we have Pastor Roush. Good morning, Pastor Roush.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for getting your whole family together today. And introduce the rest of your family for us.
Okay, my wife, Heather.
Hey, everybody.
And our three children, Isabella, or Bella.
Hi.
And Paul.
Hello.
And Sophie.
Hi.
Well, thank you all for joining me today, and I guess you're sitting out of your regular studies for school, or maybe it's after school. Let's see. You're probably approaching the end of your school day about now. This was pre-recorded, so we're talking to the family in the afternoon, I guess early afternoon, correct?
Actually, late afternoon here. It's getting close to dinner time, actually. We're 2 hours ahead of St. Louis time right now.
All right, so close to dinner time.
I'm sure the kids would have been very excited to skip school, too.
So tell me a little bit about the community where you live and where you serve in Puerto Rico.
We live and serve in the city of Mayagüez on the western coast of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is actually a pretty small island. It's about 100 miles long and 35 miles wide. And Mayagüez is right in the middle of the western coast. It's a city of about 85, 90,000 people. It's one of the more industrial cities on the island. Puerto Rico, most people think beaches, tourist destinations, but Mayagüez is more of an industrial city. It has a big university. The island's brewery is right here in Mayagüez. But we're a short distance from all the beaches, the sun and surfing and all that stuff that people come down here for. But where we actually serve is in a real blue-collar community. With wonderful people. It's been great getting to know so many wonderfully kind, giving, loving people down here.
And how long have you been in Puerto Rico?
We arrived here just about 2 years ago.
So
we're just enough that we realize that, hey, we kind of know what we're doing here a little bit, but it's still really new. We still have so much to learn. We realize that every day.
Now, what led up to you? Well, let's talk about what led up to you considering the office of Holy Ministry. What led up to that? And then we'll talk to the fact of what led up to this mission as well.
Sure. I grew up in the LCMS at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Kingsford, Michigan, Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My grandfather was the pastor there when I was young. And he was actually the one who planted the idea in my head when I was about 12 or 13 years old that I should one day consider being a pastor. So it was something I really just had in the back of my mind throughout high school, college, and then about halfway through college. I actually did my undergrad at your underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. So that was really cool to hear that they're underwriting the program. I was about halfway through my studies at Concordia in Mequon, Wisconsin, when just through getting to know some of the other students that were actually in the pastoral ministry program, also preparing for seminary, I decided to go ahead and enroll in seminary, and that's what I did. And shortly thereafter, 4 years after college, I graduated from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and was ordained, and we went off to our first church in Garrison, Minnesota, in very, very frosty northern Minnesota, which is basically the opposite of where we are now.
Heather, tell me a little bit about your background.
My background. Well, my dad is a master chef and my mom is an LPN. And so my childhood actually was pretty eventful. We moved around a lot as kids. And my parents would take over rundown inns and hotels and we would flip them into 4- and 5-star properties. So we would move right into these hotels or inns. Some some great properties across the United States, mostly on the East Coast. And we would all work together as a family to, you know, recreate this property. So it was really interesting, a lot of fun. My mom's family is actually from northern Wisconsin, and that's how I got to meet Matt. Matt and I kind of actually grew up together. We whenever we were in between jobs, we would always move back to northern Wisconsin where my mom was from, and we would stay there for a while, and my dad would try to make a go of it at a supper club or something like that. But when we were there, we would go to Matt's grandpa's church, and that's how we met each other, and Matt and I kind of grew up with one another, knowing who each other was, but it wasn't until many years later that we actually got married and started a family, so...
And so you have experience in your family of origin of working together as a family on a common project, something, doing something together as a family, and setting some goals and really working toward that, and traveling and experiencing new places, it sounds like, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't until, actually, I never imagined that we would be in the mission field ever. But it's interesting how you look back on your past and you realize how God kind of has been preparing you your whole life for the things that he's called you to do. So it's interesting to see how that actually has come into play.
So when did you all first find out about, when did you first start thinking about serving as missionaries? When did this idea pop into your head?
It definitely wasn't right out of seminary. Definitely not in my first few years in the ministry. Serving as an international missionary, and actually I was kind of laughing about that because we're the not quite international missionaries because we're in a U.S. territory, but nonetheless, it's still a big change. I had really no desire to do anything out of the box. I just wanted to go back to the Midwest, to a small town like I'd grown up in, and serve a traditional parish, do the common things that we think of a pastor doing. But it wasn't until probably about 4 or 5 years ago when a couple friends of mine, people I had gotten to know in the ministry, had started applying to serve as missionaries themselves. And one of them actually was preparing himself, was going through the support raising process. And I talked to him quite a bit, and our former parish in Wisconsin, supported him with just incredible love and financial resources for what he was about to do. And talking to him and learning about what the process looked like and what the work might look like, it really kind of started to plant the idea in my head. The other thing, too, was you just hear the stories, not necessarily from Latin America or the Caribbean where we are, but all throughout the world, where people are just latching on to the Lutheran faith like thirsty people drinking water for the first time in a long time. And it's so inspiring to hear what a thirst there is to hear pure doctrine, to hear the pure confession of Christ. And that really became something I wanted to be a part of. And that really, really motivated me to go ahead and go through the application process and then see where that would lead us and see how God would work through that process of applying to become a missionary and see where that might lead us down the road.
Matt used to say that the wonderful thing is about this calling right now is that it's a great time to be a Lutheran. This is a great time in the world to be a Lutheran, and it's a great time to be able to share God's word through the Lutheran faith all over the world. It's exciting to be out here. And with all of the resources that we have, social media especially, you never feel like you're very far away.
Bella, how did mom and dad share with you that they were thinking about serving as international missionaries? And what did you think when they first shared the idea with you?
Well, at first I was a little bit nervous, but then I kind of warmed up to the idea after hearing about Puerto Rico, and learning about how thus cultures work and how we would be able to learn Spanish. And I really warmed up to the idea after a little while.
How about Paul and Sophia? Still there, Paul? What did you think when you first heard about the idea of serving as international missionaries?
Well, I remember one night we were at home in Wisconsin, and then my dad just kind of sat us down at the table and told us that he was considering becoming a missionary. And at first, that was kind of a scary idea because, you know, it's a totally new experience, and it was, you know, it makes you kind of nervous. But after, you know, hearing about what we would be doing and how it would all work and how it all come together, it really appealed to me, and it, you know, seemed like something that wouldn't be so bad after all.
Sophia?
Sophie, what do you think? Well, one of the things I really like about being a missionary in Puerto Rico is that at our church, we have a thing called Marionetas con una misión, which means puppets with a mission. And we do puppet shows in local parks of Puerto Rico, and we share the word of God by putting on puppet shows for children and their families.
You all have been in Puerto Rico for 2 years now. Tell me about getting settled in and meeting the people in your community, meeting your neighbors. Tell me a little bit about that. We'll start with you, Matt.
That's been a really interesting experience because you see so many ways that Puerto Rico is like the United States, just pretty much all the amenities and accessories and the things around you that you have in the U.S. you have here, the same kind of stores and restaurants, and quite a lot of people speak Spanish, especially those with college education or a number of people who have lived in the States. Or have family living in the States, they're fluent in English. So that's made it quite easy to get to know people. Still a little bit of a challenge where when there's people who don't understand Spanish, and you have to be really careful not to presume that someone else is going to speak English. So you always try to speak Spanish first. Mm-hmm. Try to remember, and there are times you have to remind yourself that you are in a different culture. That these people have had different experiences than you. They don't necessarily have the same presuppositions about life, about the world that you do, about the Christian faith. So it really takes a lot of patience and just reminding yourself to learn, to listen, to take that time to know people and
be humble.
Yeah, to be very humble. Yeah, that's Heather has it right. To be humble and realize that It's a long process to work with churches down here and start new churches and do this kind of work.
Was there any kind of groundwork that was done before you got there? Had we had any missionaries serving in that area prior to your arrival?
We had about 7 or 8 years before we arrived here. There had been kind of a lapse in the work here, and myself and another missionary who came down to Puerto Rico at the same time, we were sort of the restart of LCMS mission work in Puerto Rico. There was an existing congregation here in Mayagüez, and that's actually my primary work, is serving as the pastor of that congregation, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, right here in Mayagüez. And they have a great little group of 20 or 30 people each Sunday who come together to gather around word and sacrament. And of course, we're working to do two things. First of all, get to know the people who are there and rebuild that relationship between missionaries and congregation. But then, of course, to reach out into our neighborhood around the church and into the community and lead others to God's gifts that are offered there.
Heather, tell me about settling in your community. Those first few weeks, those first few months, what that was like?
Wow. Well, overwhelming for sure. It was definitely an overwhelming time. You know, I think as the mom, you know, your job is really, especially in those first few weeks and first few months, truly, is really just to kind of facilitate making sure everybody else can get settled first. So I know, you know, at first it was just moving into the house and getting, you know, physically settled somewhere. And that was stressful, but it was exciting at the same time because it was all brand new. And then as that started to wear off, we got the kids, you know, enrolled in school and trying to make sure that they all get settled in school. And we've been very blessed. We have a great bilingual school that the kids go to here. It's about 5 minutes from our house. So, you know, getting them settled in those first few weeks, especially where it was stressful, but it was a really fulfilling time because we had so many people, especially from our congregation, who wrapped their arms around us and gave us great tips on how to maneuver traffic and shopping and all of the things that you have to do in order to get settled in. So we weren't alone, for sure.
Okay, you brought up two probably significant things that make a difference when you're learning about a new community: traffic and transportation, how to get around, and then also shopping. You know, the grocery stores and things like that. Tell me a little bit about your experience with those.
So, like Matt alluded to before, Puerto Rico and especially Mayaguez, in a lot of ways, resembles the United States. You know, a lot of the time, you can see familiar things around you. And so you think that it's going to be the same way that it is when you're in the States. But it's very much not like that. So we have a Sam's Club. We have a Kmart. We have a Walmart. We have all of those things. But when you to get there usually takes, I would say, at least double the time. Because even though Puerto Rico is a small island, it's very densely populated. And so there's a lot of traffic a lot of the time. So it does slow you down quite a bit. You have to be cautious when you're driving, especially at first, because there are some island rules. It's not quite the same as driving maybe in other Caribbean countries, but here there's some different ways of driving. It's not necessarily bad, but they don't drive exactly the same way as you do in the States. So we had to be cautious of that and learn what those, I guess, driving laws were.
That sort of unofficial etiquette of the road.
Well said. It's an unofficial etiquette of the road. that was good.
Can you give an example?
Example, if you're driving down the street and you want to turn left and there's a car coming towards you, it's very likely that that car will stop and flash their lights at you, meaning go ahead and turn in front of me, even though there's
all the traffic behind them will have to stop in order to let you go.
Right.
Yeah.
So getting used to that and then understanding that sometimes that won't happen. The weird thing is you kind of learn to depend on that. You're like, boy, it's going to take me forever to turn left here. Uh-huh. I hope someone lets me through really soon.
Well, or one of the things that's happened to us several times too is that, you know, Latin America in general is a very relational part of the world. So relationships are really important here. And you will see sometimes people will just stop right in the road because the person in the car next to them is someone they know. So they'll just stop in the midst of four lanes of traffic and have a conversation with the guy next to them. Or they'll pull over, you know, and get across. And then you'll see people pulled over on the side of the road, maybe on the wrong side of the road or however it most conveniently worked for them, because they saw someone that they wanted to talk to and they wanted to have, you know, some time with a friend or a family member. And so those are things that you wouldn't normally see in the States, but that once you find out about them, it's actually kind of endearing. So you start to understand why they do that. So, and then I would say shopping wise, you know, the lines are very long. You can't, even though you have Walmart, Sam's Club, you know, Kmart, you don't always find the things that you would normally find in the States. I know anytime someone comes to visit us here, we ask them to bring us chocolate chips because chocolate chips are really hard to find. If you do find them, they're usually in smaller packages and they're a lot more expensive. So there's little things like that. You know, it's comparable maybe to moving to a different state. If you don't have the things that are readily available to you, it's just you find different ways of doing things and different ways of making things. So,
Bella, tell me about your school and getting settled in your new school.
Well, I actually am doing online school out of a school in California called Orange Lutheran Online. So I'm actually not going to this bilingual school that my brother and sister are going to, but I am also learning Spanish. I'm in Spanish 3 right now, and next year I'll be in Spanish 4. So
very good. Yeah. And what year of school are you in?
I'm a junior this year, so I'm in 11th grade.
And she just got her driver's license here in Puerto Rico, which was a fun experience doing the whole getting your, they call it the aprendizaje. And it was actually really hard for her because all her friends back in Wisconsin got their permits when they turned 15. Here you can't get it until you turn 16, but then you have it for 6 months. Then after you turn 16 and a half, you can get your full license. So now she is on the streets of Puerto Rico, which terrifies me probably more than if we actually lived back in the States.
She does really well. She's an excellent driver. And I will throw in that she was supposed to just go into a practice lesson for her test, but ended up taking the test that day because her driver's instructor knew, or her lesson instructor knew the driving instructor. So she said that Bella was ready, and they took the test the same day, and she had to take it in Spanish, and that was amazing. So last minute, no preparation, she took her driver's test in Spanish and passed. So.
Congratulations, Bella.
Yeah.
And I'll pray for you, Mom and Dad. I'll pray for you. It's a new chapter in life. Paul, tell me about your school and getting settled in.
All right. Well, at first it was a little bit difficult. I mean, it's definitely a lot different here. I've noticed that the classes are definitely a little bit harder than they would be in the States. But even though the school is, you know, a bilingual school, there are still some moments where to explain something better, the teachers will speak Spanish to the rest of the class because they might not understand what's happening very well when it's being described in English. But that's not really too big of an issue. I've gotten to the point where I can, for the most part, figure out what everyone's talking about in Spanish. But yeah, it was definitely a difficult experience fitting in to the culture here in Puerto Rico, especially with schooling, because a lot of the things, the way people act is a lot different. Just the common things they say, like, can I borrow a pencil? They say, can you lend me a pencil? But one of the ways I was really able to fit in was through the school student council. In last year, I was fortunate enough to be elected onto the student council, so I could really fit in. I could really fit into to what was happening with all of my classmates and
get to know people better.
Yeah, get to know people better. Mm-hmm. So that was really great, and I'm really thankful for that experience.
And Paul, what grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Very good. And Sophie, how about you? Tell me about your school experience. What have you been learning in your school?
Well, in Spanish class last year, I took a class called SSL, which stands for Spanish Second Language, which was basically a special Spanish class for me and two of my other friends that I got to know at my school. But this year, I'm taking normal Spanish with the rest of my class because on certain days of the week, I am with a tutor, which was one of my former teachers from when I was in third grade, and it's really helped me through Spanish, and I am in fourth grade.
Very good.
And I have made two friends in SSL, and they're learning Spanish really well too. And I just think that we have a really great school that we go to.
Tell Andy where your friends are from.
Oh, I have one of the families that we're friends from. They're from Ireland, and they moved to Puerto Rico. And one of their kids is my age. And she was part of the Spanish second language class. We became really good friends when she came to our school.
And then the other friend is from Boston. Right?
Very good. Well, we have just about a minute left before we wrap up. Mom and Dad, how's Spanish coming along for you?
Español es bueno. It's coming pretty well. It's funny. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Everyone in this family is really good at understanding people who speak in Spanish except for me. I am having the hardest time understanding when people talk to me. That being said, I'm the speaker in the family, which I suppose when you're a pastor is good, having to preach and teach. I can say pretty much anything I need to say, but I'm still struggling with learning. Probably every pastor needs to remember the importance of listening, and I'm still struggling with that.
And I'll say, too, that I'm really proud of Matt. We are all really proud of Matt because he's been preaching and teaching Bible study in Spanish now for well over a year. So he's been doing an excellent job learning the language. So he's not giving himself enough credit. I would say, yeah, I'm learning as well. I can say anything I need to say in present tense for the most part. I'm still working on my yesterdays and tomorrows. So, but it's great because here in Puerto Rico, it's awesome because Spanglish is real. So we can usually get by if you don't know a word in Spanish. You can usually fill in with it in English, and most everybody knows what you're trying to say. So.
Well, congratulations, Roosh family, on your language skills, developing your Spanish language skills. And how can we follow and keep up with what's going on with the Roosh family and your mission in Puerto Rico?
We have a giving page and a biography page at the LCMS website. It's lcms.org/Roosh, R-U-E-S-C-H. And also, if you go on Facebook and just search for the Roosh's in Puerto Rico, you can find our page on there and you can follow us. And we put regular updates on there about what we're up to.
Very good. Well, thank you, Roosh family, for spending some time with me and learning all about your work in Puerto Rico and your new life as missionaries there. Congratulations on making it to 2 years, and God's blessings on the work that lies ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.